We're holding on Sadik Tes Omud Beis by the last Mishnah. Continuing on topics of carrying from Rishus to Rishus. Now we're going to something a little bit different. And again, we're dealing with kind of miscellaneous dinim of Shabbos that we haven't really dealt with until now. One of them actually has to do with something that the first one has to do with topics that we talked about in Or Masechta about an area being hukaf l'dira. So the Mishnah says, Ilan shoyim meisech ala oretz, if a tree is overhanging the ground, so the branches are hanging down, im ein noifei gavoya min ha'oretz shloshet tfachim, if the branches of it are less than three, hang down to less than three tfachim from the ground, metaltel and tachtav, then you're allowed to carry under the tree because then you have lovewood. So then it's considered that the tree has mechitzis all around it. The Rishonim do say, given other Gemaras that mention that if the branches move around in the wind and they're not considered mechitzis, then you'd have to have that you sort of tied down the branches or did something. You put some straw in there or whatever in order to keep them in place. But then once you do that, then you're allowed to carry underneath it. Those are considered mechitzis. On the other hand, Shoshav Gavoya Min Ha'aretz Gimel Tefachim, if the roots of the tree stick up three or more tfachim above the ground. Now you often have, you know, roots of a tree stick out of the ground, as we'll see in the Gemara, a couple of different scenarios. The problem is, midrabanan, you're not allowed to use a tree on Shabbos. We've learned about this before. The reason is because the chachamim are concerned that you might break off a branch from the tree when you're using it. So in this case, so the first part of the Mishnah, you're not actually using the tree. You're going under the branches, and you're going under the branches and sitting and carrying around over there. You're not actually touching the tree itself, so fine. In the second case, what we're saying is, if the branches are within three tefachim of the ground, then fine. They're considered part of the ground, and you're allowed to use them just like the rest of the ground. But if they're three or more tefachim above the ground, then they're considered part of the tree. Therefore, lo yeshiv aleihem, and therefore, you're not allowed to sit on them. So the Gemara starts off, Omer of Huna Breder Vishua, Ein Metaltlin Bo Yosim Beis Sosayim. This is that we're saying that you can carry under the branches of this tree where the branches droop down near the ground is only if the total area under the tree is less than Beis Sosayim, which as we've learned before is 5,000 square amas. So it would be a fairly large tree. My timer. Now, why is that? Why don't we say it's got walls around it, and it's even you could argue that this is mukaf ladira because you especially were saying that you had to prepare the branches, you had to tie them down, or otherwise make something that they don't sway in the wind. So then you made it in order to live underneath it on the face of it. So why shouldn't you be able to carry in it even if it's larger than Beis Sasayim? The reason is mishum dehavi dira shetashmisha la'avir, because yes, it can be considered a dira, but it's not meant to be the kind of place where you live on a long-term basis. You use it only because of the airspace around it. For example, the tree is in a field and you're the watchman of the field, so you need some place to be able to stay when the weather is bad, then you stay under this tree. But the purpose of it is not to, unlike an actual house where you live in the house for the sake of living in the house, here you're living under this tree only for the sake of the air around it. So therefore that's different. But called dira shetashmishal aver, as we've learned earlier in the Masechta, when you have a dira like that, where the whole purpose of it is for the area around it that you're guarding, in metaltlin bo yosim beis sasayim, you can't carry in it if it's larger than beis sasayim. So that's how it is with this tree over here. Then we said in the Mishnah, Shorshav Gvoyin Min Ha'aretz V'chola, we said if the roots of the tree are above three or more tefachim above the ground, then you can't sit on them because then they're considered part of the tree. So that part is pretty straightforward, but what about Itmar? So they said, a discussion, Shorshe Ilan Ha'boyin Milamayla Mishloisha L'soich Shloisha. What happens if the roots go from above three tefachim into three tefachim? Meaning, so they start out at the base of the tree, then they lift up three or more tefachim into the air, and then they lower back down again. So now, obviously, the part that's below three tefachim closer to the tree, you're allowed to sit on. No question about that. The part that's sticking up above three tefachim like a knee, you're obviously not allowed to sit on. No question about that. The question is that last part where it bends down and comes back to within three tefachim of the ground. Are you allowed to sit on that part or not. Rav Shesha sama also leishtamish behen, Rabba ama mutal leishtamish behen. Rav Shesha says you're not allowed to use them, as we're going to see in a minute why, even though they're within three tefachim of the ground. Rabba ama mutal leishtamish behen, Rav Shesha sama also leishtamish behen. So Rabba says you're allowed to use them, Rav Shesha says you're not, for reasons that we're going to say in a second. Rabba ama mutal leishtamish behen, Rabba says you're allowed to use them, because what's the problem? They're within three tefachim of the ground. Anything within three tefachim of the ground is considered like the ground. So therefore, it's within three tefachim, even though there was an earlier part of that root that stuck up and was above three tefachim. What's the difference? Bottom line is this one is not. Rav Sheshes Amar also leishtamish behen. Rav Sheshes says you're not allowed to use that part of the root. The kiven de mikoyach isur kaasi, because it comes from an area which is osur and therefore asurim, and therefore the osur. So Rav Sheshes says, fine, the lower part of the tree up to three tefachim from the ground, fine, no problem. That's not coming mikoyach isur, because that whole part is within three tefachim of the ground and it's not growing from the upper part of the tree. As far as the earlier part of the root that's closer to the tree, again, Rav Sheshes is fine with that. But once you reach the part which is above three tefachim, then at that part is osur. And Rav Sheshes says everything that grows out of that part is also osur. So the Gemara continues. What about another scenario? Didamu kimishunisa. What about if you have the roots are like a craggy rock, like a mountain? So a mountain, you have a peak on the top, and then it descends down. It slopes down from the sides. So Rashi describes what happens. For example, and you can see the picture by the side of Rashi over here, although it's a little bit hard to see. You have a root where the it's sticking up more than three tefachim above the ground, but then you have smaller roots coming out of it that hang that some of them hang downwards, and some of them wind up within three tefachim. So what would be the din? As far as those roots, which ones are you allowed? Which ones are you not allowed? I know you're not on the video, but I'm going to put over here. I'm going to put over here a second, a picture to illustrate in the future when people are looking at this video. So here you have, this is Damya Kimshunisa. You have a root which is sticking up above the ground, above three tefachim, but then you have some roots that are hanging down from it. Some of them are also above three tefachim, and some of them are within three tefachim. So what would be the din then? So the Gemara says, Desalkin La'ela Asurin, the ones that go up above, once they reach above three tefachim asurim, then those will be also to sit on. Everybody agrees to that, even Rabba. The nochsin latatoi shoru, the ones that go below, the ones that go downward, meaning Rashi says before it reached the point where it was three tefachim tall, you have smaller roots that are coming out of that big root and hanging down. So no part of that root, nothing between that root and the tree was ever above three tefachim. So therefore, shoru, those would be allowed even according to Rav Sheshes. Let's dudin, the ones that are to the sides, meaning again, the ones that where the root goes above three tefachim, and then you have ones that come down into three tefachim, then that would be plukta d'rabba v'Rav Sheshes. Those would be the ones that Rabba and Rav Sheshes are arguing about, because since you had some point before that, where it's getting its nourishment from the tree, or where it's giving nourishment to the tree, whatever, is above three tefachim from the ground, and that part is also. So Rav Sheshes says anything that comes from the koyach of that is also osur. So any of the roots that are beyond that point, further away from the tree, and are sticking up where it's stuck up above three tefachim, so even though they're now coming down, so then Rav Sheshes would still say that they're osur because they're mikoyach isur, because at an earlier part of that root, closer to the tree, it was above three tefachim, whereas Rabba would be okay with it because the fact is this part is below three tefachim. V'chein anigra. A similar kind of thing you would have if the tree is in a canal. So Rashi describes you have a canal that's meant to that's meant to bring water to the fields. Suppose that you have a tree growing inside that canal. So therefore, what you have is so now what you have is part of the tree. So if you look from the point of view of the sides of the canal, then you have the then you have the tree is flush with the is flush with the top of the canal over there, and then it sticks up another less than 3 tefachim, and at that point you're still allowed to use it. Anything above that, of course, you wouldn't be allowed to. Even though if you look at it from the point of view of the inside of the canal, it's much more than 3 tefachim from the bottom. So what's the din in that case? So you have the same kind of thing. Rabba would say that you can count from the sides. So therefore everything up until the height of the sides would be mutter, as well as 3 tefachim above that, because the sides are considered where the tree starts from. Whereas Rav Sheshes would say you start from the bottom of the canal, or okay, maybe Rav Sheshes would say you start from the water level, whatever it is. The point is it's lower than the banks, and therefore once you reach 3 tefachim above that, then Rav Sheshes would say it's also even though it's under or even though it's flush with the sides of the canal. V'chein v'keren zavis, and the same thing would also be if you have a tree in a corner. So the scenario Rashi describes is you have, let's say you have a corner where two walls meet or three walls meet, and you have a tree growing in that corner. So part of that tree is covered up by the walls of the chotzer or whatever it is, and the rest of it is exposed. So if the tree is only next to one wall, then as the Gemara is going to say soon, even Rabba would agree that that one wall doesn't help us, and you still count from the bottom of the tree, from the ground. But here where you have two walls, or three walls, then Rabba would say the same thing. You start counting the 3 tefachim from the top of the wall, as opposed to Rav Sheshes would say you start counting from the ground. So Tosfos points out the reason why we need to mention both cases, the canal and the wall, is because in the case of the canal, you only have the tree is embedded in the canal on two sides of it face the banks of the canal, two sides of it face the water. Rabba is telling you that even so, it's mutter. And in the case of a keren zavis, you can be talking about even that the tree is covered over by three sides, Rashi says, and nevertheless, you still have that Rav Sheshes would say that you still go according to the one exposed side and you go according to the bottom of it. So in short, in other words, if the tree only has a wall or something on one side of it, then both of them are going to agree that you start from the bottom of the tree, not from the top of the wall or whatever it is that the tree is next to. If you have two or three walls next to it, there you have the machlokas. And if you have four, then obviously you start from the top of whatever it is that the tree is inside. Well, actually, it's not so obvious. That's going to be the next case. The Gemara says, "Hahu dikla," there was a tree, palm tree, to have a abaya, which belonged to abaya, but have a solik beipuma. It was growing through the skylight. So it grew inside the house and it grew up through the skylight. And it stuck out less than 3 tefachim above the roof line. So the question is, are you allowed to use the top of that tree on Shabbos? Also, Kamed Rabbi Yosef for Sharalei. So Abaya came to Rabbi Yosef, and Rabbi Yosef said, "You're allowed to use that part of the tree which is above the roof line because it's less than 3 tefachim from above the roof." So it's like we said about the roots being less than 3 tefachim above the ground. You would be allowed to use it. Omer of Achabar Tachlifa. So Rav Achabar Tachlifa says to Abaya, "You should know the Sharalach ke Rabba Sharalach. You should know when Rabbi Yosef is telling you it's mutter, he's going according to Rabba's opinion, because according to Rav Sheshes it would be aser." The Gemara says Pshita. Obviously, that's what we just said, that Rav Sheshes wouldn't allow it. The answer is Maud Tema. Without Rav Achabar Tachlifa having told us, you would have thought a filler of Sheshes, maybe even a quintet of Sheshes, it should be mutter, because basic command molly dummy. Maybe we should consider as though the house is filled up. Maybe we should consider as though the house is a solid block going all the way up to the city, going all the way up to the roof, I mean, going all the way up to the ceiling. We've learned before in the Masechta such a concept that when you have that sometimes in halacha we say that a house is considered as though it's completely filled up. So maybe we should say the same thing over here, even according to Rav Sheshes, and therefore v'lishtamish v'pachas migimel samach lagag. So even Rav Sheshes maybe would allow you to use the part of the tree which is within three tefachim of the roof, because it should be considered as though most of the tree is buried in the ground, and you only have less than three tefachim of it sticking up above the ground. And there we say lavud, and therefore you should be allowed to use it. Kamash malan. Therefore, Rav Acha bar Tachlifa wants Abaya to know that no, Rav Sheshes would disagree even in that case. The halacha in the end is like Rabbah, for one thing, because Ma'aseh Rab, this that Rabbi Yosef paskin in practice like Rabbah, is a powerful thing, shows that the halacha should be like Rabbah. Okay. The Gemara says Tanan. Let's look at our Mishnah and see which one it fits better according to Rabbo or Rav Sheshes. The Mishnah had said, "Shorsh of Gvoyim in Aretz Gimel Tfachim." If the second line of the wide lines, "Shorsh of Gvoyim in Aretz Gimel Tfachim." If the roots of the tree are more than three tfachim above the ground, lo yeshiv aleihem, then you're not allowed to sit on them. Now, what do we mean higher than three? Now, what do we mean three tefachim? Hey, chidami, what's the scenario? Idolei hadri kaifi. If we're talking about that the roots don't bend down afterwards, they stay three tefachim above the ground, pshita, then obviously we know that anything above three tefachim or more is not lavud. So therefore, it's part of the tree, and we know there's a din de rabbanon, there's a gzeira de rabbanon not to use trees on Shabbos. So of course you can. So wouldn't it have to mean that we're talking about where the root then goes and bends back down toward the ground, and still the Mishnah seems to be implying that it's also to use, which is fine according to Rav Sheshes, but that would be a problem on Rabbah, and that would be a problem for Rabbah. The answer is loy. That's not what the Mishnah means. La'olam de'loy hadri kaifi. No, we're talking about that the branches, that the root doesn't bend back down. It stays three tefachim above the ground. V'ha'kamash malon. But the chiddush of the Mishnah is afagav d'tzidoy echad shava la'aretz. Even though one side of the root is flush with the ground. Let's say the ground itself there is uneven. So you have on one side the ground is higher. So, and therefore the root is flush with the ground over there. On the other three sides, though, it's exposed and it's three tefachim above the ground. Even Rabbah agrees, as we just said before, that if it's only flush with the ground or with a wall or whatever on one side, then it doesn't make a difference. Then you still measure based on the other sides. The same way as we said before, we said that if the tree is inside the canal, then you have it's covered by the walls of the canal on two sides. So then Rabbah will say you measure only from there if it's in a corner where two or three walls meet. Same thing, but here where you only have one side of the root that's in the ground or flush with the ground, then Rabbah will agree that's not enough to make a difference and to say that we should be allowed to sit on that root. So the Rabbah is Lakula, but we're saying that the Rabbah is going Lakula compared to Rav Sheshes, but he's still saying you need to have at least two sides where the root is, you need to have at least two sides where the root is within three tefachim of the ground, or within three tefachim of the wall, or whatever it is that's covering it, in order for us to be makel and be able to measure from the top of, from the ground there, or from the top of the wall. Yeah. This was, by the way, yesterday's Perek Echad Rambam, so yeah, it should be familiar, yeah. Okay. Yeah, that's the same idea. In other words, that's the idea. In other words, Rabbah is saying if it's on a slant, part of it was above three tefachim, and then it slants down to within three tefachim, you're allowed to sit on the part that's less than three tefachim. You're just not allowed to sit on the part which sticks up three tefachim from the ground, right? Okay. Tana Rabbanan, we learn in a braisa more on this topic. Shorshe ilan shegvoyim in ha'aretz gimel tefachim, roots of a tree that are three tefachim above the ground, or even if they're flush with the ground on one side, but there's a hollow in the ground. Again, like we said, the ground itself is uneven under the roots. So you have a hollow space, three tefachim under the root. Even though one side of the root is flush with the ground, you're not allowed to sit on those roots. Because you're not allowed to climb up on a tree on Shabbos. You're not allowed to stretch or hang against a tree. You're not allowed to lean against a tree. You're also not allowed to climb up on a tree before Shabbos and sit there the whole day, because then you're still using the tree because you're sitting on it. Even though you're not going to go up and down, just the fact that you're sitting on the tree is using it. We're going to get to that point in a minute. Echad ilan ve'echad kol behema. That's true whether it's a tree or whether it's any kind of animal, because midrabanan, you're not allowed to use an animal on Shabbos either. We learned about this at the end of Masechta Shabbos. Similar idea. The Chacham are concerned that you're going to break off a branch from a tree in order to lead the animal. So this, no, it's not because of shvisas behemta. There is a din of shvisas behemta, but that means, in other words, that you're not allowed to have your animal do a malacha for you on Shabbos. For example, mechamer achah behemta, which we learned about in Masechta Shabbos. Let's say have an animal carry a burden for you on Shabbos. That you can't do except there's certain emergency situations, like you're caught with your wallet outside the city before Shabbos. Yeah, but here it's not a matter of the animal doing malacha, it's a matter of midrabanan. We don't want that if you ride on an animal or you sit on an animal on Shabbos, you may come to break off a branch in order to make the animal go where you want to. Aval bur shiachomara, but when it comes to a pit, a bur shiachomara, all various kinds of holes in the ground, we talked about them before. Generally speaking, the definition is a bur is round, a shiach is rectangular, and a ma'ara has a covering over it, so it's like a cave. Anyway, so those kinds of things, the geder or fence. So even though they're very high or very deep, metapas for ola, metapas for yodid, you're allowed to climb up. You're allowed to climb up or climb down them. Ba'afilohen mea ama, even if they're 100 amas tall or 100 amas deep. In other words, the point is, you shouldn't think that the reason you're not allowed to climb trees on Shabbos is because of tircha, in which case these things should also be also. It's also a lot of tircha to climb down into a burr. No, we don't say that. It's not a matter of tircha. It's a matter of that the Chachamim said you're not allowed to climb up a tree because you may break off a branch. So therefore, actually the Alter Rebbe points out in Shulchan Aruch, on the face of it, maybe we should say you're not allowed to go down into the burr because you might take out a clod of dirt or a rock or something from there in order to make a nice, neat foothold for your steps or something for you to be more easily be able to go up and down. He says it's not a problem because people understand that that's more of an issue of Shabbos. Breaking off a branch as you're going up and down a tree, people are likely to be careless with, so the Chachamim had to ask for that. But when you're climbing down into a burr that you're likely to, that you might take a piece of dirt or a rock or something out of there in order to make it more even, in order to make it easier to climb up and down, people are going to realize that that's Chilul Shabbos and they're not going to do that. Well, that may also be, but the burr doesn't necessarily have water in it. The burr could be empty, and you're just using it for storage, but yeah. Okay. Fine. Since we're talking about climbing trees on Shabbos, so Toni Choda, one braisa teaches us, im ola mutter leirid, if you climbed up a tree, you're allowed to come down from it on Shabbos. The Toni Choda also leirid. Another braisa says you're not allowed to climb down from it on Shabbos. So what's going on? Loi kasha, kan mi ba'od yoim, kan mi shechoshecha. One answer is that it depends whether you climbed up the tree before Shabbos, and then the Kodesh Olav Hayom, then Shabbos began, and you're still up on the tree. So therefore, we don't cancel him. We allow him to come down from the tree. He's using the tree when he comes down. Okay, but if he stayed up on the tree, he'd also be using the tree. So therefore, we allow him to come down from the tree. Well, fine, but if he stays up there on the tree, he also might break something. Well, but he's not standing frozen like a statue for 25 hours, you know. I mean, he's going to be moving around up there on the tree, on the branches or whatever. So he might break a branch also. So there also he's going to be using the tree. But so in this case, so when he went up there before Shabbos, then fine. Kan mishicha shecha, as opposed to if he climbed up the tree after Shabbos began, then we can't say him and we tell him we have to stay up on the tree the whole Shabbos. That's one answer. V'iboyis ema hova ha mishicha shecha. Another answer is both of them could be talking about where he climbed up after Shabbos began. But it's not a contradiction because one's talking about where he went up there b'shoigig, so then we'll allow him to come down. The other one is where he went up there b'mezid, we'll make him stay up on the tree the whole Shabbos. A third possible answer is that both of them are talking b'shoigig. The two braises would be arguing on the point: do we penalize him when he did it b'shoigig because that might be confused with b'mezid? We have such a concept in a number of places in Shas. where we say that if somebody did something b'shogeg, we're on the face of it, he did it b'shogeg, why should we penalize him? But we still will, because otherwise what's going to happen is everybody's going to be do it b'mezid and claim that they did it b'shogeg. So therefore, maybe we have to say, even if you did it b'shogeg, you have to stay up there. So therefore, mar sava kansinan, so the one b'raisa that says he has to stay up there, says that even though he went up there b'shogeg, he still has to stay up there the whole Shabbos, because kansinan shogeg got b'mezid. Or mar sava, like kansinan, whereas the other one says that not. The halacha in Shulchan Aruch is that we go according to the explanation that we're talking about, that he went up on Shabbos, and it's whether he did b'shogeg or b'mezid. It does mention an opinion in Shulchan Aruch, so we don't say konsur shogeg got b'mezid. There is a machlokas in Shulchan Aruch, what happens if he went up there, Shulchan Aruch does bring an opinion, if he went up there on Erev Shabbos, intending to stay there for Shabbos, and then is he allowed to come down? Then you have some of the posts can say that then also he's not allowed to come down. Some say that nevertheless, since he went up before Shabbos, then he is allowed to. Lamai said, being dinabon, and then we'll make on it. The breaking the branch would be daraisa, sure, but the climbing up. Well, yeah, it's a tolda of the malacha of koitzer. They had to harvest the plants that they used for the dyes, right? Breaking a branch off a tree is a tolda of the malacha of koitzer. You're harvesting, you're cutting off a branch from where it grew, the same way as you're cutting a plant from where it grew in order to use it for the dyes. So it would be a malacha daraisa. If he actually breaks off a branch, it would be a malacha daraisa. Here we're talking about, can he climb up and down? Can he climb down where he might break a branch, but he also, if he stays up there, he also might break a branch. The point is, the Chachamim said, you're not allowed to use trees. Yes, I told you also chayim and daraisa. Yeah. If you live in a tree house, so then you have a Mishnah in Sukkah, for example, that mentions a case where you have a Sukkah that some of the walls of it are on trees. We've actually learned about this earlier in the Masechta, whether it means that the trees are the walls of the sukkah, and you have the schach leaning on the branches of the trees. And the question is whether you're allowed to use the schach itself to put things on, or are we talking about that using the trees themselves as the bases for your walls, that you have the walls built on top of the trees. So the Mishnah says over there, if the situation is that without the trees, you wouldn't have a valid sukkah, then you're not allowed to use that sukkah on Yom Tov. Same thing, Gzeira, because you might use the tree on Yom Tov. But if you have three walls are standing on the ground without the trees, and you're only using the sukkah, you're only using the tree as the fourth wall, then you're allowed to, because then you're not mishtamish b'ilim. So yeah, a tree house, repashtus, would be the same thing. A tree house is on top of the tree, and you would have the same problem. Okay. Rav Huna Bere Devishua says, actually, there's another way we can understand this machloikas about whether if he went up onto the tree, whether he should stay there for all of Shabbos or not, is actually subject to a machloikas tanoim. And by the way, we should mention, the Rama mentions this and it's brought in Shulchan Aruch, all of this discussion about whether you should go down or not only applies if it was a tree. What about if he went up onto an animal on Shabbos? Then do we say the same thing? We say that no. Then regardless, even though you went up b'mezid, and even though you went up on Shabbos, don't stay there for the whole Shabbos because sa balachayim. So therefore, you get down from the animal, but with the tree, yeah. Okay, so Rav Huna Bere Devishua says, there's machloikas tanoim on the subject. Basically, what we're going to say is, the machloikas tanoim is, if you have a choice between two things, each of which involves an isser, but one of them is passive and one of them is active, which one should you do? So in this case, passively, you could be staying up on the tree. Actively, you could be coming down. The question is, which one is worse? On the one hand, you're going to come down from the tree. You're actively violating what the Chachamim said to not use a tree on Shabbos. On the other hand, it's a momentary thing, and then you'll be off the tree, and that's that. As opposed to passively, you're not doing anything right now because you're already up on the tree. But on the other hand, then you're using the tree for the whole rest of Shabbos. So which one is better and which one is worse? So Rav Huna Bere Devishua tells us there's a similar machloikas tanoim in Kodshim about that, in Masechta Zvachim. So like this, the Mishnah says, Hanitonin b'matona achas, shenis avu minitonin b'matona achas, if blood of a korban that's supposed to be put with one application on the Mizbeach is mixed up with other blood that's also supposed to be one application, Rashi gives an example. Let's say you have the blood of two b'choros that was mixed up, the b'choros blood, we say every day in davening, v'domen ton matona achas, or v'vad sheyitin keneged ha'yisod, so you pour or you throw the blood of the bechor Against the wall of the Mizbeach, as long as you do it along one of the walls that's above the Yesod, so the northern side or the northern side or the western side of the Mizbeach, those are the two sides that have Yesod. So if you have the blood of two Bechorim is mixed up, no problem, you nustam atana achas, then you do one application of blood from that combination to the Mizbeach, and that takes care of both Korbanos. Matan dalad b'matan dalad. What happens if you have two korbanos that are supposed to be applied to the mizbeach in four places that are mixed together? Namely, Rashi says, let's say two chatois, the blood got mixed together, where the chatas, the kohen, dips his finger in and daubs it on the corners of the mizbeach. Ola b'kevesh ufana l'soviv ubala l'kehen dremis mizrachos, etc. And he goes around the mizbeach and then and smears some of the blood with his finger on each of the corners of the mizbeach. Shtei matonas shein abba, you're talking about. Most korbanos are shtei matonas shein abba. Oila, shlomim, osham, etc. All of those are shtei matonas shein abba. You go to the two opposite corners, two caddy corners of the mizbeach, and throw the blood against the corner, so it ends up there's blood on all four corners. We're not talking about, Rashi says, you could have the same din. If you have, let's say, a shlomim, the blood of a shlomim was mixed with the blood of another shlomim, or the blood of an oila, fine, the same thing. You could do them together, and you've taken care of it. So Rashi is giving the example over here, Rechatos, where you actually go around and do four separate applications of blood. The question is, matan arba, so then no problem, you nostim, matan dalad, you apply it four times to the mizbeach, and it takes care of both of them. What about matan arba, matan achas? What if you have the blood of a korban that's supposed to be applied four times to the mizbeach, a chatas, is mixed up with the blood of one that's supposed to have only one application, a bechor? That's the scenario Rashi gives, where you're talking about, let's say, a chatos mixed up with a bechor, and you're going to have a machlokes whether you do one or four times. Actually, Tosfos says it's not that simple, because there you have another problem. There you have the blood of the bechor and of most korbanos is supposed to go lamata mechuta sikra, below the red line around the middle of the mizbeach. The blood of the chatos is supposed to go on the upper half of the mizbeach. So then you have a different problem. So you'd have to say, Tosfos says, let's say, for example, you're talking about the blood of an oila, which is supposed to be, like we just said, shtayim shein arba. It's supposed to be thrown on the two opposite corners of the mizbeach, and that got mixed up with the blood of a bechor or a pesach. So all of them go on the bottom half of the mizbeach, but one is supposed to be done only one time, and the other one is supposed to be done two times. Shtei matanas shein arba. So what do you do? Rabbi Eliezer, I mean, you nostim a matan dalad. Rabbi Eliezer says you have to do the matan dalad. You have to do the four applications of blood as if it was just the blood of a chatas or oila or whatever. Rabbi Yeshua, you nostim a matan achas. Rabbi Yeshua says you only do one application of blood. So the Mishnah continues, Omaloi Rabbi Eliezer, harehu over our bal tigra. If we do like you're saying and you do only one application, then you're over. The Torah says, bal tigra, loy sigru umimenu. Don't deduct from the mitzvahs. The Torah tells you this korban has to have the blood placed on the mizbeach in two places or four places or whatever. What are you doing? Why are you doing only one? Now, it is true, Tosfos points out that the halacha is, it's actually machlokas b'shama b'silo, but the halacha is like b'silo, that with korbanos that you need two or four times, even if you did it only one time, it still works. We only by korbanos in the heichel do we say matana achas mehen ma'akavas, that if you miss out one matana, then the korban's no good. When it comes to korbanos on the mizbeach achitzin, we don't say that, but still, you shouldn't do that lachatchila. So Rabbi Eliezer argues to Rabbi Yeshua, if we do like you're saying, and you do only one application, then you're over on Baltigra. Amalei Rabbi Yeshua, harehu over on Baltosif. Rabbi Yeshua says, and according to you, some of this blood is from a korban that's supposed to be only one time, and you're doing it two times or four times, so you're over on Baltosif. Amalei Rabbi Eliezer, so Rabbi Eliezer says, that's not a problem, because loy amru elakru ba'atzmai, that isu of Baltosif is only when it's by itself. Yeah, if you took the blood of a bechor all by itself and you applied it in two places to the mizbeach, then you'd be over on Baltosif. Amalei Rabbi Yeshua, loy never Baltigra elakru ba'atzmai, so Rabbi Yeshua says the same thing, the isu of Baltigra only applies when it's by itself. We learned about Baltosif earlier in our perek, by the way, in connection with Tfilin, where we talked about if you wear two pair at a time, whether you're over on Baltosif. There also actually we talked about the idea of mitzvah tzviches kavana. In fact, actually the Achronim talk about in this connection, why don't we just say over here, he doesn't have kavana to that the blood of the Bechor should be in two places. So maybe therefore we should say, what's the problem about Baltosif? Don't you have to have that he has in mind? So there is in fact an answer that by korbanos we don't say that. that by karbonas we say, because karbonas are possible only if he's misasik, only if he's like, he has no kavana at all. He's just like playing around. But otherwise we say the korban, and otherwise we say the korban is kosher, even without a specific kavana. So therefore that might be enough for him to be over on Baal Tosif. But Rabbi Yeshua said, so that's Rabbi Eliezer's argument, is if you do it, that's Rabbi Yeshua's argument. You do it more times, you're going to be over on Baal Tosif. But Rabbi Eliezer is saying that no, you're over, only over on Baal Tosif if the blood of the korban is by itself. And Rabbi Yeshua says the same thing with Baal Tigra. Va'oid omer Rabbi Yeshua. So then Rabbi Yeshua continues the argument. Okay, so if you have a choice between Baal Tigra and Baal Tosif, why am I telling you to do only one rather than we might as well say like you and do it four times? And okay, we're going to be over on Baal Tosif. Either way, we're being over on something. Why do I dafka say that we should do only one? So Rabbi Yeshua says, because kshanasata, if you do it the extra times, not only of Vartal Baal Tosif, not only you're being over on the issue of Baal Tosif, of adding to the mitzvah, but Osisa Maisa B'yodcha, you actually did something with your own hands, you were over on the mitzvah of Baal Tosif by doing the extra applications. Kshaloi Nosata, if you didn't do it, you did it only the one time, like I'm saying. Sure, Avartal Baal Tigra, you could argue, according to you, Rabbi Eliezer, that you're over on Baal Tigra, even if you don't accept my argument because the blood is not by itself, you're going to say it's, you're still over on Baal Tigra, but at least, at least you didn't do something with your own bare hands. So therefore, Rabbi Yeshua says that's better. Shev Baal Tasa Odif, in other words. So therefore, applying that to our case of climbing up the tree, and now you want to come down from the tree on Shabbos. So, Rabbi Eliezer, da'amah hasam kum asay odif, according to Rabbi Eliezer, who says that nevertheless, the better thing is to actually do it, do the thing, and that way, at least, whichever korban had to have the blood on the mizbeach four times, that's been accomplished. So, hochinam yered, the same thing in our case. It is a mitzvah to go down from the tree, because as long as you're on the tree, you're being over on Divrei Chachamim, who said that you're not allowed to use a tree on Shabbos. So better, you should go down from the tree. You're using the tree when you're going down, but you're using the tree when you're sitting up there also. So therefore, yeah, for a long time. So better you should just get down as fast as possible, rather than staying up there and then you're being over on the Din D'Rabbanan the whole time. Rabbi Yeshua, da'amah hasam shev Baal Tasa Odif, as opposed to, according to Rabbi Yeshua, that the better thing is shev Baal Tasa, better not to do something, be a dayim, and that way, at least whatever you're over on is a passive thing. So the same way over here, chanami lo yered, the same thing over here, he shouldn't come down from the tree, because then he'd actually be actively violating what the Chachamim said, to not use the tree on Shabbos. Well, that's the Gemara is going to ask. Dilma loy, the Gemara says, not necessarily, maybe that's not a valid comparison. Ad kam le'ka'omer Rabbi Eliezer hasam kumasei odif. You know when Rabbi Eliezer is saying over there, better to do kumasei, go do the four applications of blood, ela de'ka'ovid mitzvah. The fact is, he is accomplishing a mitzvah because you do have a korban over there where the blood needs to be going four times onto the mizbeach, and therefore he's actually accomplishing a mitzvah. Aval hocha deloy ovid mitzvah. Here he's not doing a mitzvah. He's staying away from an avera, but you can't say that by coming down from the tree, he's accomplishing a mitzvah. So therefore, hochinami lo yered. Maybe Rabbi Eliezer would agree that that's not an event, not a valid reason to tell him to come down from the tree. Ve'inami, or we could argue the other way around. Ad kam le'ka'omer Rabbi Yeshua hasam shev Baal Tasa odif. You know why Rabbi Yeshua argues over there that shev Baal Tasa is better. Better to do only the one application, even though you might be over on Baal Tigra. At least you're not doing Baal Tosif b'yadayim. Ella deloy ka'ovid isura. The fact is, he's not actually doing an isur by not doing the extra applications, because okay, he's doing something passive, but he's not actually biadayim being over on Baal Tigra. Aval hocha de ka'ovid isura. Here, as long as he's sitting on the tree, that itself is he's using the tree, and the whole time, every minute that he's there, he's being over on isur d'rabbanon. Hochi nami diyered. Maybe Rabbi Yeshua would say that he should come down. So the ma'ase, as we said, the halacha in Shulchan Aruch is that if he went up there on Shabbos, b'mezid, then he can't come down. If he went up there b'shogeg, then he can come down. And then you have an opinion that says that if he went up there before Shabbos, intending to stay there on Shabbos, then he also can't come down. That's a second opinion in Shulchan Aruch. Okay. More on this topic about using trees on Shabbos. Toni Choda, we learn in one braisa, echad ilan lach ve'echad ilan yavish, that these dinim would apply whether it's a fresh tree or whether it's a dry tree. So even though it's dry, on the face of it, maybe it's not considered mechubur lakarka. Nevertheless, the braisa is saying it would still be also to climb up it on Shabbos. What? Well, it might be that it'll crack easier, but that's not. V'tanya idach b'medvamum v'lach av b'yavish mutter. Another braisa says that all of this din only applies when it's a fresh tree, but not when it's a dry tree. So how do we reconcile the two braises? Amar Rav Yehuda, like Kasha, kan b'she gizay machlif, kan b'she en gizay machlif. It depends whether the trunk is going to regenerate or not. Right now, the tree is dry, but if it rains or you irrigate the tree or whatever, will it start growing again? So if it'll start growing, then we say even now on Shabbos, you're not allowed to climb it. Otherwise, if it's completely dead, then you would be allowed to climb it on Shabbos. Because even you're going to break off branches from it, on the face of it, it doesn't matter. It's dead anyway, so therefore breaking branches off of it wouldn't be an Issur Daradais anyway. The problem with that is gizay machlif yovish kares lai. What are you talking about? If the tree can start growing again as soon as you give it water, how can you call that dry? The definition of dry is that it's dead and dry. Ela loy kasha kan mi moisa chama kan mi moisa gshamim. It depends whether it's in the summertime or the wintertime. The thing is like this. It actually explains if it's during the summertime. And it's a dry tree. Now during the summertime, trees have leaves and they have fruit and whatever. So people see that this tree is dry and it doesn't have leaves. They're going to know that it's dead. Therefore, you're going up on Shabbos about it. On Shabbos, it's not a matter of maris ayin. As opposed to during the winter, none of the trees have leaves. So therefore, people see you climbing up that tree. They're not aware that this one is a dead tree. They think it's alive. They think that you're being over on the issur d'rabbanan of climbing a tree. Therefore, you can't do that. The trees lost their leaves, yeah. Yeah, I mean, obviously you had... No, they're not in New York, but in Bavel also you have trees that lose their leaves during the winter. And now it's Israel also. Yeah, you have a pasuk in Yeshaya that mentions Ka'elo v'chaloi nasheh b'shalechas, and I've heard of Parashas Yisrael that mentions trees that lose their leaves during the winter. And that's what the Jewish people are like in Golos. That's all that's left is the trunk, and we don't have the leaves. We don't have the leaves. Well, it means, but we still have the trunk. There will be, as the Gemara is going to say, it is live, and it is going to be gizay machlif. It is going to regenerate. Yeah. Worth mentioning, by the way, in this connection as a side thing, a Gemara in Yuma says an interesting line based on a pasuk in Iyov. The pasuk describes over there how you have a tree that seems completely dead, but then as soon as you bring it some water, then it starts growing again and flourishing again. The Gemara says that if a person sees that Torah is disappearing from his family, like his children are not growing up to be Talmidei Chachamim, he should make sure at least that they marry daughters of Talmidei Chachamim. And that way it'll be like water to a tree that refreshes it and regenerates it, and you're able to have a kiyum for the future. Yeah. Okay, so that's the thing. So again, if it's a dead tree during the summer, then it's obvious that it's a dead tree. Therefore, you can climb up it. But if it's during the winter, then it's not so obvious. Therefore, you shouldn't climb up it because marasayin. The problem with that is b'mosachamara honatri peri. Even during the summer, there could be fruit on it, which you're going to knock down when you still have fruit left on the tree from last year. And fine. We're not going to be gozer because you might break off branches. Because fine, it's a dead tree anyway. But don't you have the problem that he might break off fruit from it? And that at least we should be gozer because then you might come to take fruit off a fresh tree, which would be an actual issur daraisa. It still could have some fruit hanging on it still from before. The answer is b'dalek peri. Okay, we're talking about there's no fruit on it. What about for Konatri Kinsi? Don't you have the problem, though, that little twigs and branches break off from it when you're climbing up? The answer is Bigduda. So we're talking about a bare tree. There's no branches on it. There's no fruit on it. It's just a trunk. Therefore, it's maybe a trunk with very large branches that you're not going to break off easily. So therefore, you'd be allowed to if it's dry and it's during the summertime. Okay, the Gemara asks, "V'harav ikla l'apastia v'osar bigduda." Don't we know that Rav one time visited Apastia, or however, Afastia, however you Afsatia, whatever you pronounce it, whatever is the name of a place, and he said that even a bare tree like that, you're also to climb on Shabbos. So we see it's not a matter of the fruit or the leaves, or not the leaves, the branches, or whatever. The answer is, as the Gemara uses the expression in other places, Rav bika motzav gadar bageder. Rav found an open area, a valley, and he made a fence in it. Meaning, Rashi says, he saw the people are not bnei Torah. They don't know the dinim. So therefore, if you allow them to climb a bare tree, then they're going to end up climbing other kinds of trees as well. So it's like a valley where everything is open. So he put up a fence over there in order to say, here is where you're allowed to go. Here is where you're not allowed to go. In Shulchan Aruch, actually, it brings that nowadays we have to consider ourselves not Bnei Torah, and therefore we're not allowed to climb any kind of trees on Shabbos, even a bare tree, even a bare dry tree, like we're saying over here. So the kids are not allowed to climb on trees in bungalow colonies. Yeah, you have to. Well, the truth is, if they're climbing on their own, I mean, you know, the parents have a mitzvah of chinuch to tell them not to. Not necessarily does anybody else. As long as you're not giving them the isur b'yadayim, which you're not. You're not giving them the tree. It's just there. So the parents have a mitzvah of chinuch for them. The everybody else, not the rest of the adults, not necessarily. The Rebbe points out in a couple of places. We find this expression about Rav, Bika Matzav, Goder Bageder, in three places in Shas. We had it at the beginning of our Masechta in connection with a case over there involving a Mavri. We have it over here in connection with a tree. And we have it in Cholin in connection with a case of Basa B'Cholav, where the Gemara mentions that there were people who didn't know the issue of Basa B'Cholav. So Rav not only taught them the din, but he also said to them, from now on, they're not allowed to eat chal, they're not allowed to eat the udder of an animal, which contains milk in it, even though technically it should be mutter. So in some places, the Rebbe explains that the idea is that we see, therefore, that Rav made sure to make this bika in three areas of life, in three areas of the world around us, in doimim, in semeach, and in chai. So the case of the mavri is doimim, involving mechitzis. The case over here with the tree is semeach, and the case of basa b'cholav is chai. In other places that Eber talks about, it's also the idea that Rav did this in dinim d'rabbanan, in dinim where there's logic to it, like we're saying over here, and also in dinim where there's no logic, where on the face of it, there's no logic, like basa b'cholav, which is a classic chayk, where we don't even understand the reason for it. And in all those three areas, Rav made sure that there has to be a get, that there has to be a getter, that there has to be a fence, so people know what, so people are careful with what they do and what they don't do. This is the guy that was eating the Gemara mentions that in connection with that. They're about Rami Bar Dikuli, and yeah. Yeah. We learned about it in Masechta Cholin, yeah. But, Rami Bar Tamri, Rami Bar Dikula, yeah. So, the Gemara starts over there. Then in Surah, which was where Rav was the Rosh Hashiva, the minhag became there that you're not allowed to eat chal based on what Rav had said. So yeah, the Gemara tells the story over there of this guy who came from Pabadissa to Surah on Erev Yom Kippur, and he found some chals and he ate them, and you have a whole discussion between him and Rav Huna, either Rav Huna or Rav Chista, I forget which one it was, on the subject. Yeah. Okay. And the chal is the udder. The udder of the animal, which is where the milk is stored. Yeah. Okay. Continues the Gemara. So technically the din is that you're allowed to cut it shesi ve'erev and bang it against the wall, and then you're allowed to eat it. However, Rav, in his area, asked the people to eat it altogether, even with that, because he had seen that people were careless with basa b'cholav, so therefore he added that extra chumra for them. That's the Bika Matzav, a Goder Bageder. That's what we're saying. He found an open area where, like, people are just going anywhere they want without caring about the dinim, and therefore he made a fence and made an extra. There's, by the way, another couple of places also where the Rebbe talked about this and said, you see from that, you often have people thinking, if people are careless with a certain mitzvah, with a certain din, okay, so you got to be makel on them, make it easier for them. They're obviously not going to listen anyway, so if you try to be too strict on them, then they're just going to rebel. You see from these Gemaras just the opposite, that Rav is telling them, no, we got to be even more machmir, and that's how you're going to learn to do the right thing.
Yeah. Were people mad at Rav, or was that Rav?
I don't know what you're talking about.
When Rav was... They were chasing Rabba down.
Yeah, that was Rabba. That was Rabba. It doesn't say that Rabba was too machmir. It just says that that people masser on him. You have the Gemara mentions in Shabbos that he was mussering them in mili d'shmaya, that he was telling them off for the things that they're doing wrong. Because the Gemara mentions in Cholin, the Gemara mentions that many people in Pumbedissa, not the Bnei Yeshiva, but the regular people who live there, well, Ganovim or whatever. So yeah, Rabba probably had what to tell them off for a lot. And yeah, okay, onward. Amar Rami Bar Abba, Amar Rav Asi. Osu la'odem shi'ahalach agave asavim b'Shabbos. A person is not allowed to walk on grass on Shabbos, because you might uproot some of the grass. Shenamav otzber aglayim choyte. As in fact, you have a pasuk that says a person who hurries with his feet is a choyte. So you see, just a person is walking along and he can be called a choyte, because the problem is he might pull grass out of the ground as he's walking. But the Gemara says, wait, you're wondering, you know, that people walk on grass, so wait. Tani chodem mutter leilach agabe asavim b'Shabbos. One brisa says that you are allowed to walk on grass on Shabbos. The Tanya idach also. Another brisa says you're not allowed to. Like Rami Ba'aba said. So which is it? The answer is like kasha habalachim habiyaveshim. One answer is it depends whether you're talking about fresh grass or dry grass. So dry grass, there's much more of a chance. So the other way around. Fresh grass, as we said, that's an isur daraisa. If you end up pulling it out, then you're doing an isur daraisa of toilish, of uprooting something from where it's growing. If the grass is dry, then it's already considered as though it's detached from the ground. Therefore, you'd be allowed to walk on it. Another possibility is both of them are talking about where the grass is fresh. Again, it can be a difference between summertime and wintertime. Same difference that we said before. During the wintertime, it's not so obvious whether the grass is dry or not. During the summertime, you can easily see which grass is growing and which is not. Actually, no. Rashi says a different explanation. Rashi says that the vort is during the summertime, the grasses, and we don't just mean grass like lawns or whatever. We mean like various kinds of herbs and things like you have in meadows and whatever. During the summertime is when they have the capsules at the top of them that have the seeds in them. During the summertime, therefore, you're walking through them, you're very likely to knock those off. And then you're again being over on Isra of Tolish. As opposed to during the wintertime, those aren't there because the plants don't produce seeds during the wintertime, so then you'd be allowed to walk among them. What? You're not meaning to. It's malacha, it's Dava Shein Meskaven, but right now the Gemara is going according to the opinion that Dava Shein Meskaven is also.
Right.
That's what Gemara is going to say that in a minute, yeah. So Rashi explains that's the difference between summer and winter, because during the summer they have the seed capsules and during the winter they don't. There is a different explanation, I think, from Rabbeinu Yohanan that says that during the summertime they're drier and therefore you're more likely to break them, as opposed to during the winter, then there's less chance of that. Another answer you could say is both of them are talking during the summer, or Gilyon and Ashasburg is a different girsa, both of them are during the winter. That, in other words, the point is that even during the winter, there's a difference whether you're allowed to or not. But like Kasha, it depends whether he's wearing shoes or not. If he's not wearing shoes, then there's a much greater likelihood that the grass or herbs or whatever are going to get tangled between his toes, and then he's going to end up pulling them out of the ground. As opposed to if he's wearing shoes, then there's much less chance that they're going to get tangled. Another possibility is even if he's wearing shoes, it depends whether the shoes themselves have nails or whatever sticking out of them, where there's a bigger chance that then it's going to get caught on the grass and pull out the grass as he's walking. Another possibility is even if you have shoes that have cleats or nails like that, still it might be mutter, it might be also. It depends whether the grass itself is long and could easily get tangled in the cleats of the shoes, versus if it's short grass, like when you walk on a lawn, then it would be mutter, because then there's very little chance of that. So the Gemara says, Nowadays that we say the halacha is like Reb Shimon, that Dover She'enim Eskaven is mutter, then Kulu Shori, all of them actually would be mutter. Even if you're barefoot, or you have shoes with cleats, and the grass is long, etc., etc., because it's Dover She'enim Eskaven, and it's not Psikresha, then therefore it would be mutter. And that is the halacha. Although there are achronim who say that maybe if the grass is very long, then you should be careful, because then it's more likely to be a psikresha, that if you're walking barefoot or with shoes with cleats or whatever, that it's going to get caught. Okay, so now we're going to start on a piece of agadta. Since we mentioned the pasuk v'otzber aglayim choyte, the Gemara is going to mention another thing that we learned from that pasuk. Again, otzber aglayim choyte means a person who hurries with his feet is choyte, is a sinner. So here we were saying that if a person is walking along grass, then he could be over on Isur Shabbos by pulling grass out with his feet or his shoes. So now the Gemara is going to bring another thing from that pasuk. The Amar Rami Bachama Amar Abasi. A man is not allowed to force his wife to do the mitzvah, meaning of having relations. So even though we're talking about there is a mitzvah of oina, there's a mitzvah of pruvu or whatever, but a man is not allowed to force his wife, should not force his wife to do that. The same pasuk, the one who hurries with raglayim is a sinner. Raglayim is a euphemism for tashmish. It actually brings from the pasuk that you have by Yoel and Sisera. We had it recently in the Yaakov Shir. Bein Raglea caught on Nafal Shochav, where the Gemara says that Sisera had relations with Yoel. So we see that the word Raglayim can be used of having relations. So that he hurries, he's in a rush to do Raglayim, then he's a chote. V'amr Rabbi Shurban Levi, also Rabbi Shurban Levi says in this connection, Kol HaKoyfa Ishtel Advar Mitzvah, a man who forces his wife to do the mitzvah of having relations, he will end up having children who are not erlach, who don't have good midas. In fact, the Gemara in Nedarim mentions nine states of mind or whatever that you have to be careful of when a couple is having relations, and one of them is bnei anusa, is when he's forcing her to do it. So that causes that the children are enin mahuganim, they don't have good midas. As the Rambam writes on it, based on the Gemara over there, that they're the ones that end up getting refined out of the Jewish people with all the troubles of Golos. Like, yeah, but, you know, the tzaras of Golos happen, and such people decide that, you know, I've had enough, and you know, lo yudach mimen nidach. But nevertheless, at least on a surface level, they leave. Yeah. Omen of Ika Brachinina Mikra, sort of Ika Brachinina says, where's a posik that expresses that idea? That the result of that can be that a person has children who are no good, because that same posik says, Gamblai Das Nefesh Loitov. Also, that's the beginning of the same posik that ends off for Otzbra Glaim Choite. So, also without Das, a soul is not good, meaning that if he's having relations with his wife without her das, without her consent, nefesh loy tov, then it results in a not good nefesh for the child. To be exact, like the Alter Rebbe mentions in Shulchan Aruch, you know, that it's important for a couple to be mekadesh atzmi v'shas tashmish affects the levushim of the neshama. The neshama itself, you can have a great neshama, can be brought down even by pshutei am, but the Alter Rebbe explains in Perek Beis of Tanya. But the levushim of the neshama, the machshava, dibur ma'isa, depend on how they act b'shas tashmish, and that's what we're saying over here. Tanya nami hachi, we learn similarly in a b'raisa, when the posuk says gam b'loy das nefesh loy tov, also without das, without her consent, nefesh loy tov, there's a no good nefesh, zak koyfe ishtel advar mitzvah, this, as we said, means where the man forces his wife to have relations, and then the b'raisa continues, v'otz b'raglayim choyte, when the posuk continues, the one who's quick with his feet, and again we said raglayim also means tashmish, is choyte zeha boyol v'shoyne. This means where he has relations with her twice in a row, which then he's being matriach. So the Gemara says, Eini, is that so? What's wrong with being boyol v'shoyne? Just the opposite. For ha'amar rava, ha'roitza lasas kolbon of schorim yivol v'yishne. If a man wants that he should have boys, then he should do twice, because we know the famous thing, ish mazria tchila yeledes nekeva, ish mazras tchila yeledes socher. What that means exactly, whether it means when she ovulates, whether it means when she orgasms, whatever it is, the point is that there's a certain thing where if she does it first, then the result is going to be a boy. And so therefore, if you have relations twice, then she already has a taiva from the first time. So now when he comes to do it the second time, then she's mazriya tchila, and that's more likely to produce a boy, as we're saying. So it is a good thing to do twice. So what are you telling me that he's considered a chote? And again, the answer is, like Kasha, kan ladas, kan shalei ladas. It depends whether it's with her das or not, which can also include, Mephoshim say, it also includes, let's say he forced her the first time, and now the second time she already has a taiva, and now he wants to do it again. Nevertheless, the fact that he forced her the first time is already wrong, and that's what we're saying, he's a choyte, even though the second time she agrees, because she didn't agree the first time. Okay, so we'll stop over here. We'll continue with more Agadta tomorrow, Best Hashem. Yeah. Shkoyach, everyone.